Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And we looked at this a little bit last time. And, I want to look at the 21st chapter. We looked at this last time. We'll get the 22nd chapter next, maybe yet tonight. But anyway, we have the birth of Isaac. And right after Adam and Eve sinned, and they were put out of the Garden of Eden, because God put them out, lest they put forth their hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, think about that. They were fallen creatures. They were created in the image of God, but they fell from the image of God. And then one of the things that would come upon them would be aging and death. And but if they would eat of the tree of life, they would live forever in bodies that would continue to age. You know? And so God, in his mercy and in his grace, promised, in the judgment of the serpent, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Now, that's in mysterious language, but that is a promise of a Savior in Jesus Christ. You know, he is the singular seed of the woman. Let's turn back to Galatians, chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, we have, beginning with, in chapter 4, Paul talks about the difference between an heir. It differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, when you're a little kid and you're going to ultimately be King of England, you're not King of England as a little kid. You're under tutors and governors until the time appointed. Okay. So then he goes on to say in verse 8, "How be it then, when you knew not God?" Yeah, and that's where every one of us begins. We're born dead in trespasses and in sin. And so that being the case, you knew not God. But what did you give service to? You did service unto them which by nature are not God, is the way we would say it, but are no God. In other words, they worshipped idols. They worshipped the works of their own hands. And you have to think about it. With the death of a believer, and we just lost Debbie Jones, but she's home with the Lord. You know, she was very sick for about a month, and then in and out of the hospital, and then finally she died yesterday at about 4:30. Well, for a redeemed individual, the moment that her eyes are closed in death, she's in the presence of the Lord. And Paul described that in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And, let's keep your spot here in Galatians, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul is talking about an incident that took place with him when he was on his first missionary journey, and he was in Lystra. And the Jews didn't want to receive what he had to say. And so as he begins here, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And now he's speaking in the second person or third person, but he's actually talking about himself. Sounds like he's talking about somebody else, but he's actually talking about himself. And so he says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. So he's speaking at the time when he was stoned to death at Lystra, and he couldn't tell whether he was in his natural body or out of his natural body. And so he goes on to say, such an one caught up to the third heaven, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. You know, now paradise, you know, we call the Garden of Eden paradise, but the actual paradise is the presence of God in heaven. And so he was caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, have you ever wondered why there is so little information in the scriptures about heaven? You know, I mean, we have it as a promise, but there's very little in the scriptures about heaven. The scriptures are primarily about, we're sinners, and through God's offering of his own son, which was represented in the Old Testament, God gave the Jews the law to show themselves guilty because they thought that they had an inheritance just simply because they were of the seed of Abraham. They were Jews. Okay. And people in America think, well, this is a Christian country, so that's all I have to be, is just to be an American to be a Christian. No, it isn't so. You know, you can be born to both of your parents are saved, but when you're born dead in trespasses and sin. Now, there is such a thing, and we learn it in the Old Testament, how that there is an age of accountability. So God doesn't count an infant. If an infant dies in infancy, then that infant is immediately translated into heaven. But then we reached an age, and we could see this with the Jews when they came out of Egypt, that, at one point in time, they wanted to overthrow the rule of Aaron and Moses. And so God held everyone that was 20 years old and older accountable. And everyone under that age, they still remained alive. The rest all died in the wilderness. Over a period of time. But the young people then were the ones that actually crossed the Jordan and entered into Canaan. And Canaan is not heaven. On the Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast a wishful eye. Do you really want to live in Israel? is it what you envision heaven to be like? You know, the songwriters got it all wrong. We know what they mean, but God had a promised land. But the promised land's not on this earth. You know, Abraham, all of his life, God promised him a city whose builder and maker was God. He never found it, not till he died. See? And that's the same thing which is true of us. So, last December, what was it, the 6th, my wife of 69 years, less 22 days, she passed into the presence of the Lord. I miss her every day. We were married for nearly 69 years. Some people don't live that long. A lot of people don't live that long. And I fell in love with her when she was a young girl and married her when she wasn't much older. She was 16 and a half, and I was 19 and a half. And I came home on leave. I was in the Air Force during the Korean War. And we just had to get married. So you never want to get married around Christmas, because you have Christmas presents. But nobody ever remembers your anniversary. it's like the kid that only gets a birthday every 4 years because he was born on leap year. Anyway, but we have that comfort. Jesus said Let me read it in John so I can get it started. He was telling his disciples, of his imminent death. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are," and mansions is a terrible translation, "it's dwelling places. This body is a dwelling place for your soul and spirit." Now, if we're unsaved, we just have a soulish consciousness. But when we're regenerated, we have not only, we can understand natural things with our soulish consciousness, but then when we're born again, the Spirit of God indwells us and regenerates our spirit that died in Adam. And so we then are spiritually alive. And that's why we can commune with God, because God dwells with us. Jesus promised that the Spirit that was promised in the Old Testament would be in the Jews, and that he would never leave them nor forsake them. And then he later on in this 14th chapter, he says that a little later on that I and my Father will come and make our dwelling place with you. So when we think about it, God's one God, but we're indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Triune God, one person. So if we're indwelt by one person, we have to be indwelt by the other two persons in the Godhead. So there's never a time when we can't pray. You don't have to be in church to pray. You don't have to be on your knees to pray. There's no set position. If you're driving down the freeway, I recommend that you keep your eyes open. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." So it goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In the day in which we're living, we have a lot of people like AOC, +3. They tell us if we don't change the emissions, this country of ours is going to disappear in 10 years. It's going to disappear a little faster than that if they make it a socialistic country. And they're trying hard to do that. But the point is that look at Venezuela. It used to be, I think, the richest country in South America. Now the people are trying to find food out of garbage cans where the big shots have eaten. They throw a little bit of garbage away, but otherwise the people are starving to death. Same thing was true in Cuba. If you think about when Fidel Castro took over Cuba, defeated Batista, and people thought it was bad under Batista. He was a bit of a dictator, but they did far better financially under Batista than they ever did under Castro. And those Cubans wanted to get out of Cuba so badly, they would get on anything that would float to get across to Florida. Think about the risk. But they did it, and many of them made it, and many of them died. But they wanted to get out from under socialism. Socialism would work if everybody was redeemed and in the image of God. But it can't work because we all have a sin nature. And we, even as believers, we haven't lost our sin nature and won't lose it until we're resurrected. Then when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But until then, Dale's still like Dale always was, But then there's another side of Dale that was regenerated when he was 21 years old. And that side of Dale had a longing for the Word of God and got into the Word of God and studied hard all of these years. Over the years, I've written hundreds of articles and what is it, 5-6 books, something like that. I'm working on the 6th one now. And that's hard work. But it's still housed in a house that's it's a corruptible house. I watch a lot of those shows from Alaska, and I see those old buildings, you know, and they're ready to go down, and then you know, then you there's another one where they cabin rebuilders or something like that, and nothing square. You know, the house is about ready to cave in. And then there's another show about homesteaders and some of the conditions they live in, and they say, that's living? Anyway, let's continue with what Paul said here, and then we'll get back to our text. So he says, of such an one, the one that who's caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words in verse 4, which is not lawful for a man to utter, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. You know, I've got faults both physically and spiritually. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Paul probably had ophthalmia. Remember, he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and he received his sight, but it was never the same. And if he had ophthalmia, which is a oriental disease, causes the eyes to secrete pus. Yeah. And in the scripture, we read about people saying his physical presence is loathsome. But the things that he writes, they're fantastic. Yeah. So he says, for this thing I besought the Lord one, thrice. That's three times. That it might depart from me. And what did God say to him? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now we're dealing with grace. We're dealing with grace with Abraham. We're dealing with grace with Adam. We're dealing with grace for everyone in this world who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. It's by grace. Grace is unmerited favor. None of us deserve heaven. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. And I think we'll pick up okay, let's see here. Let's pick up at verse 24 of the third chapter. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Now, schoolmaster was an attendant slave who had the responsibility of training children. How does the law train us? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. What are most of the religious systems under the canopy of Christianity based upon? Mostly based upon personal your personal well-being, your personal goodness, you know. But nobody gets to heaven because they're good, because there's none good. How many? Not even one. We get to heaven because the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, makes us realize that we're sinners and that Christ died for our sins. He lived his life as a Jew under the law, fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. Then he gave himself as a ransom for sin. So he paid for your sin, he paid for mine. In the nation of Israel, no one in Israel ever kept the law. They couldn't, see, because in that it was weak through the flesh. The problem with the law is not the law. The problem with the law, we're the problem with the law, whether we're Jews or whether we're Gentiles. We simply can't live to the standard that God requires. Okay. So God had to make provision. And this is, we're seeing in the birth of Isaac. Isaac was miraculously born. Jesus, who is our Savior, and Isaac is portraying Christ. So Christ was virgin born so that he could be a man, but without the sin nature of man. If we're born naturally, all of the blood that flows in our veins comes from our father, which came from his father, which came from his father all the way back to Adam. So as in Adam, all die. Then so in Christ, all are made alive. So Eve, or not Eve, but Mary, she also had a sin nature. She wasn't the perfect woman that the Roman church tries to paint her to be. But she was a virgin, and God came to her, just as he did to Sarah, when Sarah was told that she was going to have a child at age 89. She'd be 90 by the time the child was born. What did she do? She laughed. You know, if you were 89 years old and no longer had a monthly cycle, and somebody told you you were going to get pregnant, what would you do? You'd laugh, you know. And then Abraham was 99 years old, and he had been impotent for quite a long time. Yeah. So it wasn't possible for him to impregnate his wife. See, he was old and impotent. Okay. Then it was impossible for him to produce the promised seed. The seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. And he had to come into this world born of a virgin, but born also of a human being, Mary. So he's related to us because in order to be redeemed, if you read the book of Ruth, Boaz had to be what? A near kinsman. And Jesus Christ, because of his virgin birth, is our near kinsman, our kinsman redeemer. So he can stand in our stead and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and we can share the inheritance that he receives. If you read the books of, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy primarily, you read all about the law, and no one could keep it, and no one ever did keep it, save one person. That was God, who was Jesus Christ in the flesh. Okay. So he goes on to say then, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, in verse 24 of the third chapter, to bring us into Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, what? We're no longer under schoolmaster. We as believers do not live by the precepts of the law. With our mind, we recognize they're good, they're right, and they're holy. But then we recognize we're not. I mean, we're judicially justified before God, but we do not possess actual holiness in this sin-wrecked body. So, given the opportunity, what are we going to do? We're going to satisfy the flesh, and that is, we're going to sin. Yeah. For Paul tells the Galatians, because he had preached the gospel to them, and they were redeemed, but then the Judaizers came along and told them that they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, or they couldn't be saved. So he says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. No one is a child of God by natural generation, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And God gives us the faith to believe that Christ died for our sins. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Now, we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about the fact that baptism portrays what takes place. Water baptism portrays what takes place. So God counts that when Christ died, we who are redeemed died with him. When Christ was buried, we who are in Christ were buried with him. When Christ arose from the dead, we who are in Christ arose with him to walk in newness of life. And then, of course, he ascended into heaven, and God counts us, even though we're here, he counts us in the book of Ephesians to already be seated in the heavenlies or in heaven. So that's the certainty of our inheritance in Christ. So he goes on to say, for as many of you as have been baptized, or you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, and you were raised with Christ, doesn't have anything to do with water baptism. Water baptism portrays it. Unless you've got a snorkel or a scuba gear, when I put you under the water, you're in the place of death. You might be able to hold your breath for a minute, maybe even 2 minutes, but after that, you're going to bust and take in water, and you're going to drown if I keep you there that long. So you died with Christ, so you were buried with Christ. And when Christ was raised from the dead, you came up out of the waters, you were raised with him to walk in newness of life. What's the newness of life? It's not law. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not faith, or not of faith. See? So the way we live on the basis of what God says we are, not what we actually are. Because none of us is actually holy, actually righteous, actually just. Yeah. It's just like Abraham. We look at him and his life, and God chose him. But he was willing to put his wife's chastity on the line because she was a beautiful woman. She said, tell him, or he said to her, when we go into Egypt, tell him you're my sister. When we went into the realm of Abimelech, tell him you're my sister. Yeah. And of course, Abimelech was watching. Oh, no, that was later on with Isaac, but a similar history. But the idea, they saw them playing. It's translated sporting. That's sexual play. And you don't have sexual play with your sister. Not if you're raised halfway right. Okay. Anyway, we come to the fourth chapter then. Well, let's read in verse 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. So when God made the promise to Abraham that all of his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed, who is it that's blessed? Those that believe like Abraham believed. And so if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now the Jews figured they were Abraham's seed by natural generation, and they were. But it's interesting, even today when you talk about anti-Semitism, nobody includes the Arabs. But the Arabs are Semites too. Yeah. So it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Now the fourth chapter. Now I say that the heir, and each one of us are joint heirs with Christ, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So when you're a little kid, when your daddy dies, you're going to be king. But you're not king yet. So you've got, tutors, governors, maids. They're all bossing you around. And you don't you know who I am? I'm the prince. Well, so sad, too bad, Prince Valiant. You're not king yet. Yeah. Okay. But under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. In other words, in a proper household, the child doesn't rule the house. Most of them do in the age in which we live. And parents have quit being parents. They've started trying to be friends with their kids. Well, you can be friendly with your kids and love your kids. But and you can play with your kids, but you're still in authority over them. And every now and then, God made a place, the Gluteus Maximus. And the scripture tells us, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are your bastards and not sons. So when your parents don't want to correct you for being bad, they're treating you as if you're not theirs, that you're a bastard. Yeah. But God judges all of his children, He takes us to the woodshed when we need to go, you know. And he doesn't take us every time, but, you know, we have things come into our lives that make us think about, where are my priorities? You know, where am I spending most of my time? Well, we only have services, you know, three, four times a week, Wednesday night, Sunday school and worship service on Sunday morning and Sunday night service. But other than that, and of course we do have all those services because some people have to work and can't make all of them. So we do it for convenience. But there isn't any place I'd rather be, you know, than listening to somebody preaching or doing the preaching myself. Okay? Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now we need to go back to Genesis and deal with Isaac. Now, Isaac was the son of Abraham. And God had made a promise to Abraham that of his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And Sarah had a scheme, and she talked Abraham into going into her Egyptian maid. And she produced a child by him. You know. And that was Ishmael. That's where the Arabs have come from. And then later on, at, you know, 89 and 99, God said, next year at this time, you're going to have a son. So it was a calendar year from the promise to the birth. So they would be 90 and 100. Yeah. And that's why Abraham left. That's why Sarah left. But interesting thing, and we've all done it as unsaved people in the world before our salvation. We maybe have mocked certain things, or, you know, thought that the Bible wasn't, you know, true, because we didn't know anything about it. And you can't just pick up the Bible and read it like any other book, because it's closed to everyone who's unsaved. All they can get out of the Bible is it doesn't make sense to them. The Jews were told to keep the law and put in the land of Canaan, but they never kept the law, and God would judge them, and then there would be a king that would return them to the truth, and then he'd bless them for a while, and then they'd fall away again. It was just a constant in and out, you know. But they were never perfect by the lives that they lived. They couldn't be, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But when God promised them the law, what did they say? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And sadly, under the canopy of Christianity, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But under the canopy of Christianity, most churches teach, okay, Christ saves you, now you can keep the law. No. You have no more ability to keep the law as a believer than you did as an unbeliever. Yeah. You can't be justified by the works of your own hands. And anything that you do by the works of your own hand, motivated by your natural mind, can't be remembered by God. It's called the flesh. Okay? So he goes on, and we see the birth of Isaac. Now, the birth of Isaac was a portrayal to Abraham that he would give him an eternal inheritance. And it would be through Isaac, and Isaac shall thy seed be called. It's not seeds as of many, Paul tells us in the third chapter of Galatians, but seed singular. So Isaac's seed is Jesus Christ. God became a man through the virgin birth. Isaac was born into this world by a miraculous birth, born to parents that were too old to father a child. Now, God just restored Sarah's ability to produce at a monthly cycle, And Abraham's potency was restored, and it wasn't just for the birth of Isaac, because after Sarah died and he married Keturah, I think he had 10 children by Keturah. Okay. So when God restored his strength, he restored his strength. Now, as we continue on then, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, or to have joy, you know, so that all that hear me will have laugh or have joy with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age? Yeah. And who would say of Deolandre, knowing the rotten little brat that he was growing up, that he would one day be saved and be preaching the gospel for nearly 65 years? But God has to use sinners saved by grace, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, when you see these wimpy preachers on television or in the movies, they drive me crazy. You know, they're actually very effeminate, and they act like, oh, they can't listen to anything, you know. That's not according to the bunch of preachers that I knew. Yeah. So when the child grew and was weaned, now, we're not actually talking about the time when he was really taken off his mother's breast. But when the child in that age reached 5 years of age, then he had a public weaning. And there would be a party and gifts and so on and so forth. And he would be extolled for being the son. And now he is growing. He's no longer considered a baby. Okay? And Sarah saw the son of Hagar. Now, if we figure this out, he's about 17, 18 years old now. Well, to be actually 19 years of age. So, Ishmael's 19, Isaac is 5. And what did we see? And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Here, this is Isaac's day, and it's supposed to be a happy time. But there's his older brother making fun of him, you know. And so he says, Sarah got, as Adrian said to her counselor one time, you know, my mom is mighty pissed. Well, Sarah was mighty pissed when she saw what Ishmael was doing to Isaac. And so, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous. Abraham loved Ishmael, you know. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That verse is going to be very important when we get to the next chapter. But let's go back to the fourth chapter of Galatians. Now, we're reading about events that are historical events. They took place exactly as recorded. But the Spirit of God has given those historical events there's a spiritual lesson in them. So we call that an allegory. Paul was preaching, you know, he had preached to the Galatians, and the Judaizers came along and told them that they had to keep the law or they couldn't be saved. And so Paul says in verse 16, because he was insisting salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. And so, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Yeah. My desire when I preach is to never make anybody uncomfortable. I know the Word of God sometimes makes us uncomfortable. And so I preach what God lays upon my heart, study so that I'm able to preach. But then I preach just what the Lord lays on my heart at the moment that I'm preaching. And wherever he takes me, that's where we go. And I found myself kicking the daylights out of the Roman Catholics, with Roman Catholics in the audience. And I didn't go there on purpose, but God was giving them the chance to change their mind. Because if you think you're just, you know, all you have to do is be baptized as an infant and be, you're put under the law when you get about 12, 13, about puberty. I've forgotten what they call it.
Confirmation,
yeah. You know, you're baptized. That's supposed to save you. It's confirmed when you reach puberty then, okay? And then you're under the law. And if you fail, then you've got to go to the priest and confess your sins. That doesn't agree with the Word of God, you know. And I wasn't mean-spirited. I was just pointing out these truths. But if a person's steeped in them from their childhood, they're going to get pretty angry with me, you know. Okay, so Paul says in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. In other words, they're trying to tell you that in order to be everything that you need to be as a Christian, you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. That's a lie. You know, circumcision, we're circumcised with the circumcision without hands. That is, we're counted to have died with Christ when Christ died. That's the removal of the flesh judicially by God. Okay. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you. In other words, you can't eat with us because you're not as good as we are. Yeah. Because you think you're saved by grace and grace alone, and we're such wonderful people, we never fail in all that the law says. And there are lots of people out there like that. And what do we call them? Hypocrites. And if you know the derivation of hypocrite, it comes from the Greek word hypokrites. And in Greek, a hypokrites is an actor, a pretender. And anybody that is making out that they're keeping the law is a pretender, you know, an empty pretender. Okay, so then he goes on, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of course he brought them to Christ, so they are his children in Christ, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. In other words, as you mature in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. You're bouncing away from grace over to law, and that causes me to be in doubt of whether your profession of faith was true. See? Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that was Ishmael, the other by a free woman. What do people that are legalistic do with people who profess to be saved by grace through faith? They mock us the same way that Ishmael mocked Isaac on the day of his weaning. You know, they think they're going to go to heaven just because of the grace of God. And they mock it, just as Ishmael was mocking it. Now it says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. You know, Abraham still had potency. At that point in time, his wife said, go into my maid. You know, so he said, oh, I can't do a thing like that. I think he probably trotted in there as rapidly as he could. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We try to make heroes out of people in the scriptures. When there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. Who is the glory of God? Jesus Christ. God himself. So, but he was of the bond woman, was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is, it says Agar, but it's Hagar. Greek has a rough breathing before the A, which gives it an H sound. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Jerusalem, the Jews were under the law, and they were in bondage because the law can only condemn you. It can't save you. It can show you that you're a sinner, but it takes the sacrificial system that pointed to faith in Christ to change it. See? But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou barren, that's Sarah, that bearest not. She was barren. Break forth and cry or pray, thou that travailest not. For the desolate, that's Hagar, hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now, if we give the allegorical meaning of this, there are many more people who believe they get to heaven by the life that they live than those of us who recognize that we're sinners and saved by grace. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh, think about the day of his weaning now, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, that's Isaac. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman. The bondwoman represents the law and her son. Anything that she produces. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. We're saved by grace through faith. If you're a real son, then you're not a bastard. But those people that think they're going to get to heaven by the works of their own hands they're bastards and not sons. See, God's not their father. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman or of the law, but of the free, but of grace. Now, one more verse, and this really works into what's going on politically in this world. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. A lot of politicians out there lying to you to bring you in bondage while they themselves get richer and richer, and you'd be... If the people of this country go that way, it's going to happen to them just like Cuba. Cuba is the way you actually say it. And Venezuela, And both, socialistic countries, both the common people are very poor with a rich ruling class. And look at the rules for Thanksgiving tomorrow. If you're rich, you can have all your buddies over. It's okay. And if you're a Democrat, Kate Brown and all her gang, do you think that they're going to limit it to so many people in hell? No, that's for you to see how far they can push your button. And they use death. Your fear of COVID, which is about 0.1% of the population of the country has died from COVID. It's less than the normal flu. And everybody going around with a mask doesn't do a bit of good because it's supposed to be an airborne disease. You put your hands on it, pull it under your nose, put it back up, put it back down. As soon as you touch your face, what? You've infected yourself? Yes, it's nonsense. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ, and we thank you for the liberty that we've had in this country. And I wish more young people knew what Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. That's the equivalent of Paul saying, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Bless in each of our hearts and lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.